We turn again to the Word of God at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. And today we continue again where we left off last week into the second session, the second part, about being filled with all the fullness of God. Let us read this passage again. Ephesians chapter 3, we read at verse 14, going on to verse 19. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer then was that every one of the Ephesian Christians and that the Ephesian church as a whole might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a long way beyond the bare salvation with which most churches seem to be contented with, that we may crawl through life and hopefully one day find ourselves a place in the heavenly kingdom. Paul is not content with this type of Christianity. He wants us to be filled with all God's fullness. And this can only be accomplished, as he points out in verse 16, through God's Spirit. This is possible only through the Spirit of God. So to be filled with all God's fullness means certainly to be filled with the fullness of his Spirit. Now, we've been talking last week, as also this week, about how to be filled with God's fullness. And we've been speaking in terms of food, or rather the Bible has been speaking in terms of food, because we know how to eat until we are filled. And using this parabolic language, we have seen four things in Scripture, or rather we have looked at only two of them, but we will see four things in Scripture, of which it is said that we eat them as food, and we are filled with them in the fullness and richness of abundance. Now, you will also notice that all these four things are closely connected to prayer. And here I would like to draw my first point for today. There is no possibility of thinking of the fullness of God or the filling of the Spirit unless you know what prayer is about. And perhaps in nothing is the church today so poverty-stricken as in the matter of prayer. I ask you, just in all good conscience, in all honesty, to look at your prayer life, say through the past week or the last few days. What was your prayer life like? Can you say in all good conscience that your prayer life was something delectable, delightful? It fills you with a sense of warmth when you think about it, a sense of richness and pleasure, spiritual satisfaction? Or was it some dreary minutes that crawled by as slowly as time could ever get by? And when you had prayed for 3 minutes, you thought it was 3 hours that you had already prayed, and discovered that the hand of your watch had moved no more than 3 minutes across the face of the watch. Now, what has that to do with our subject? Very much so. It has much to do with it because we have been speaking about these spiritual delights in terms of food that we eat. And hopefully it is not food that you find hard to swallow. Since food you find hard to swallow, is not, you're not going to eat to your fill. You had two mouthfuls and you said, I had enough of this. What is delightful? You keep eating until you are filled. Now the first point I want to make is this. All these things that we are speaking about are spoken of in scripture in terms of food. Now, unless your prayer time is like sitting at a table and nourishing yourself with spiritual food, then what is your prayer time? An exercise in hardship and endurance? An exercise to see whether your kneecaps can stand the hardness of the floor for how many minutes? Now, the first point that I want to make is this. When you come to prayer, come to it as though you are going to have a spiritual meal, because that's what it's supposed to be. You're going to feed upon the richness which God provides. You know, some of us who are brought up in the Roman Catholic tradition, I went to Catholic school for many years. It was my first contact with Christianity, was with the Catholics. We somehow were instilled with the idea that only saints were prayed with for any length of time. And that when they prayed, they, as you see in the pictures, especially in the Catholic churches and also in Protestant churches sometimes, the saints are always in a kneeling position. And because we are brought up with this idea, we think that we cannot pray unless we kneel. But anyone who has undertaken to pray with any degree of seriousness will soon recognize that it is really hard to pray for any length of time on your knees, especially on a hard floor, and even on a cushion. Because it's not so much the knees, it's the back that begins to bother you after a while. And therefore we think that the essence of holiness is to see how long you can fight the fatigue in your back muscle while you are while you stay in a kneeling position. And perhaps the greatness, the great achievement of the saints was that their back muscles were particularly equipped to stand up to this long period of kneeling. Now when you come to dinner, do you kneel down to eat? Maybe from henceforth we should remove all chairs and make everyone kneel to eat their supper and see whether you can enjoy your meal or not. Soon you'll be squirming from one knee to the other and you'll be leaning back and leaning onto the table and everything, because you find this is a very uncomfortable position. I would like, and that is what I have mentioned before, and I'd like to drive this point home. Unless prayer time is a time of spiritual eating, spiritual feasting, none of us will grow into spiritual giants. Because if you treat the time of prayer as a time of physical wrestling with muscle fatigue, I mean, that may be very good for physical discipline, but it does nothing in terms of spiritual feeding. And this point I want to deliberately drive into your minds. I say to you, if you really mean business with God, is get yourself into a comfortable position in prayer so that you can feed comfortably in the Word of God. Now, I did mention hardship. We must learn to endure hardship, but the table is hardly the place to endure hardship, unless, of course, God has particularly declared that you shall be in want for some period of time, and that happens too sometimes. So what I do when I pray is, I tell you quite frankly, I make myself comfortable because I intend to feed for a good long time. I lean my back against some wall or against the back of the bed and I put it where my spiritual napkin on, because I intend to be a spiritual gourmet and go for the good food that the Lord provides. And I'm going to enjoy my fellowship with the Lord. What does Revelation 3:20 say? I will come in and sup with him How do you eat and supper? You know that in those days it was well known that they often reclined to eat. That is, they stayed in as much a relaxing position as possible. They leaned against the cushions. And personally, I find that rather tiring in some ways because I'm not used to it. But obviously, sometimes I do that too. When the sitting position gets too tiring after a time, even sitting can get a bit tiring if you sit for a long time, then I do recline onto one elbow sometimes. If this elbow gets tired, I recline onto the other one. Maybe that's what they did with the reclining position as well. So that I can feast upon the goodies of the Lord, the good things of the Lord. Why am I saying all this? Because like Paul, I would like to see all of us here be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unless you're a very fast eater, and I'm not, and I know Brother Joe is not. Tim is a fast eater. I'm not a very fast eater. I'm quite average, I guess. But even so, how long does it take you to have a meal? Do you gulp your food down in 2 minutes flat? Not me. In 2 minutes, I hardly got through the soup, or if we are having soup. Maybe some Christians, their prayer time is a matter of gulping down some soup. So their spiritual nutrition is very deficient after a period of time. Imagine growing up on soup. Yeah. So why do we not understand that God wants us to be filled with all His fullness? And He wants to sup with us. We sit here and He sits there, and we're going to have this wonderful spiritual feast that He is providing for us. Do you ever come away from prayer with a sense of deep spiritual satisfaction? If not, stay there. Stay in prayer until the satisfaction comes. Ah, the deep spiritual satisfaction. You have the sense of being filled with all the goodness of the Lord. We have a church of spiritual pygmies today, spiritually anemic, spiritually deficient in everything, lacking in strength, lacking in power, spiritually nothing, because we have not learned to pray. We have not learned to pray. So I ask of you all, if this is not just to be a sentence in the Bible, a letter of Paul to the Ephesians, be filled with all the fullness of God. We are not talking about dreams. We are talking about a reality. The reality of being filled. For this, you must make time for God. Just as you make time for a meal, you want to sit down and enjoy a meal. You don't want to rush to a meal. You know it's bad for digestion to rush to a meal. So no matter how busy you are, you're going to say, this time is set aside for me. I'm going to sit here for the next half an hour and slowly enjoy the food here. If you don't do that, you're liable to be a candidate for ulcers of one kind or another, indigestion, malnutrition, whatever else. But this is the church. If we made a survey today in the average church and handed out a form and say, please, in all honesty, without writing your name on it, write down how much about something about your prayer life, I think the results would be enough to make Paul weep, enough to make the Lord weep. Could you not watch with me, he said to his apostles, even his apostles at that time, could you not watch with me 1 hour, just 1 hour? Is it 2 hours? 1 hour is too much? What about half an hour? How much time do you spend on a meal? Can you not do that much? We take 3 meals a day, normally speaking. I normally take 2 meals a day, but some people take 3 meals a day. 3 meals a day, even at 20 minutes each, only 20 minutes makes 1 hour. Of course, the quality of prayer does not depend upon its length, the length of time. But on conversely, it is not to say that length of time is unimportant. The quality of the meal does not depend on how long you sit at the table, that's for sure. Otherwise, the longer we sit at the table, the better the food becomes. We might be willing to sit there a long time. But still, the length of time you sit at the table has something important to do with how well you partake of that meal. So try to understand this point. If you want to have the fullness of God, there is not some cheap and easy way by which you just get into one emotional experience of the Lord and it's all over with. It is a daily, daily supping with Him and He with us. Daily enjoying and determined by the grace of God to enjoy the spiritual riches. There you draw the strength. There you draw the fullness and the abundance. I said to you, maybe from week to week, you go through the lay training and you receive feeding. You go through a Bible study. You come to church. You can be fed on the Word of God. And who feeds me? If I did not learn to abide in the presence of the Lord and be fed by the riches from Him, what do I have to pass on to anyone else? What do I have to give? But I would like you to learn this secret, because you will not always be here. And when you go back to wherever it is you'll be going to, you might find no spiritual food at all. And then how shall you survive? But he who knows how to abide in the secret place of God, he who knows how to dwell in the fullness that God provides, will never be in want. And you know, I often come before the Lord and beg His forgiveness, because I felt that I failed to convey in the message the richness of what He had given to me. I felt that He had given me so much and I managed to pass on so little. And therefore it is vital that you learn how to feed, that you learn yourself how to draw upon this richness. Because if the fullness and being filled with all the fullness of God in your life depends entirely on my preaching, then what happens when you're not here to listen to the preaching? What happens if I cannot pass on the fullness that I receive? Then how are you ever going to attain to the fullness? So please, learn the enjoyment of prayer. In communing with the Lord, think of prayer no longer as some piece of physical endurance. Think of it as something truly that you're going to enjoy, and you will. You will be filled with such richness every day, not once a week in the Sunday message or in the Bible study or in the lay training, but every day drawing upon the richness and strength that comes from the Lord. And then you're going to see wonderful things happening through you, beyond what you imagine possible. What do we read in John 1:16? From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Verses 16 and 18, isn't it? Wonderful. Fullness. Of His fullness. Because when you are filled, you have something to give. When you are empty, you have nothing to give. I've seen nothing so pitiful sometimes as people who are trying to witness. You know, in many churches, it's all the time the stress on personal work and personal evangelism. Go out there and give tracts and witness. And have you ever seen the pitiful spectacle of somebody who is inwardly empty trying to witness to somebody else and hoping that in the process of witnessing to somebody else, he might get some filling? Have you tried witnessing to people when you yourself are empty because you are impressed by the fact through the preacher, whoever, who keeps telling you, you have to witness, you have to witness, you have to do personal work, and so you go out there and do it. And doing it from a sense of emptiness, you feel your own hypocrisy, you feel your own utter shallowness in the whole process. You feel that somehow you shouldn't be doing this, and you are right, you shouldn't be. Not until you have the fullness. Oh, it's talking about every Christian to be filled. That's how the church started at Pentecost, filled right from the beginning, and continue being filled, as Ephesians 5:18 has it. We cannot serve except in fullness. And have you ever seen the pitiful situation in which you have elders of churches, deacons of churches, or whatever these officers of the churches like to be called, or even pastors of churches, who are patently empty,
You can see his emptiness. You can hear his emptiness when he preaches. He has nothing to give, nothing to share. He is utterly empty. And there he is, in the midst of his emptiness, sounding hollow, trying to give forth the gospel. No officer of the church, whether he be elder or deacon or preacher or lay preacher or whoever he may be, should serve the Lord unless he has the filling. That's what the Lord said to his disciples, don't go out there until you are filled. That means when you go out, when you are not filled, you are serving the Lord in a manner and in a way you should not be doing. So this is the vital thing that we must grasp. And we cannot be filled until we feed upon the Lord and upon all that he has provided for us through prayer. And again, change your concept of prayer. Change it. Now, I do say to you that sometimes I do pray upon my knees. I don't want you to get the notion that I'm saying to you, you should never pray in a kneeling position. Paul does say here, I bow my knees. Sometimes when there is a deep crisis, sometimes when there is a certain matter of great urgency, or sometimes when I feel a deep pain in my heart because someone has fallen into sin or done something that grieves me, I do go upon my knees before the Lord. I prostrate myself upon my face before the Lord. I plead with the Lord on my face. There are times when I do pray in this way, because no other position would express the depth of feeling in my heart except upon my knees. But here we are talking of being filled. We are talking about the steady daily filling. And again, I want to stress this point. The Lord moves us to sup with him, to enjoy feeding that which he provides for us. So let us refresh our minds. I spend much time on this because it is so essential that your prayer life be utterly transformed. And when you feed upon the Lord, you are not going to keep track of time anymore. Time is not a factor anymore. It doesn't interest you anymore. So that you don't remember how much time you pray. You don't know whether it was an hour, was it 2 hours, was it 2.5, was it 3, it doesn't really matter. The time seems to have gone by so fast, you can't recall how much time it was. It's just like you spend time with your girlfriend. Did you say, oh, I've spent one hour with you already. It's time for me to go. It's so much time I spent with you. Did you remember how much time it was? The afternoon went by, you can't remember. How long was it? Well, because you were in the company of someone you love, you don't worry about time. But remember the guy who's so boring? Oh, I mean, you spent 5 minutes with him and you wondered, was it the whole day already went by? It's so exhausting. So is the Lord boring to you or is he someone you love? Well, try enjoying this fellowship with him. Without that, you will never reach the fullness. Now, let us come back to this fact. The first thing we talked about was to be filled with the Spirit. And we saw that the Lord in his teaching, especially in Matthew 7, compared the Spirit and the filling, the receiving of the Spirit, to the receiving of bread and fish. The Holy Spirit himself, we feed upon him until we are filled, rather as a father provides bread and fish to his sons. And secondly, we saw last week that the Lord Jesus spoke of himself as food, as the bread of life. In John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. He that eats my flesh and he drinks my blood will live by me. The meaning of the drinking of blood we will not go into, of course. It has much to do with the wonders of covenant relationship that we have no time to talk about today. But whatever it is, the picture is clear to each one, even who does not have deep spiritual understanding, that the Lord is inviting us to feed upon himself, upon his saving work, as we saw last week, claiming his power to break sin in our lives, feeding upon his flesh until we see the freedom from sin, experience that freedom, which is the portion of every redeemed servant and child of God. and to draw upon his life represented in that blood until the fullness of his life fills every part of our being. Now today we come to the third of these, filled with the richness of his word. His word. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. And this is what Paul says here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and psalms, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now notice the order of events. First, Paul wants all the Colossians to be filled with the word of Christ, that it will dwell in them richly. This word richly is used of food in Luke chapter 16 verses 19 to 22. Luke 16, 19 to 22, it's used several times of the rich food, the abundance, the overflowing abundance of food that the rich man had on his table, which he refused to share with the poor man outside, with poor Lazarus. And Paul is saying, let the word of God so overflow upon in your life, as the food, the rich and abundant food overflowed upon the table of the rich man. An overflowing filling of the word of God. Now, eating the word of God is a commonplace in Scripture. It's used so frequently that, as I say, it is a commonplace. You can see that in the Old Testament, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, also Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Let me read to you Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. And this is what Jeremiah says. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Thy words were found. I found your words, I got hold of them, and I did eat them. I gobbled them up. And thy words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. Also in Psalm 19, verse 10, Psalm 119, 103, and so forth. In the Old Testament, the eating of God's word, as I say, is a commonplace. The same is true in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, where Paul says of the Corinthians that they were so spiritually carnal that he could not give them strong meat to eat, but could only give them the milk of God's word. The same is true in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 14, and so forth.